I want to share a word for someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our time here for this 6 o'clock service is for you, if that's you. Doesn't matter to me if it's one person in here or 10 that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I want you to just listen, and I want you to open up your heart. And I know you feel the presence of God already. I know you do. This is why you're still sitting here. It's not because the seats are necessarily very comfortable or you have enough leg room, but because you feel the presence of Jesus Christ. He's here, and he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be God in your life. There's this moment in Scripture with Jesus out of Luke 17. Just listen to me. Jesus, he's on the way to Jerusalem in verse 11, and he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he stops off in a little village. Sometimes he would stop off in a big city. Other times he'd stop off in a small village because Jesus was always about the will of his Father to touch lives wherever he went. And it wasn't a matter of the bigger place or the smaller place. He always knew exactly where he was going to go. He had a mission, and that mission was to save you and I and to touch our lives. He was met by 10 lepers. These lepers, you know, in this time, leprosy was the worst of its kind in regards to a disease, an ailment, a sickness. It destroyed the skin. It destroyed the body. The body would shut down. They were a marginalized people, which means they could not be in the public because this disease could spread very easily. And oftentimes, in this particular time, people that had leprosy were considered judged by God, that this was their death sentence. And they stood from a distance and they lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, this wasn't the first time that Jesus had encountered lepers. Actually, through much of his ministry, he had healed a lot of those that had leprosy. But this was the first account where the response to their cry for mercy, he tells them to go show themselves to the priests. On all of the other occasions that Jesus had with the leper, he would touch them or he would speak and he would heal them right there. But this particular word, they cry out in mercy, you know, from a distance, knowing that they couldn't get but so close because of just who they were in their sickness. But they cry out from a distance and they cry out, "Please have mercy, show favor to us. We don't deserve it. We have this death sentence. We're going to die, but you're our last option." And maybe some of you here, you just came in because maybe this is it. This is my last option. I just feel so distanced from everything going on in the world and in life. I don't know what to do next. Have mercy. And then Jesus just goes, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. One of them, who saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. The message is titled tonight, "Go Back to Jesus." Verse 16, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Now, Scripture, the writer throws this in. He was a Samaritan, so you could understand, and I could understand, that in this particular time, the Samaritans and the Jews were at odds. Anger and bitterness towards one another, which means it would not be something normal for the Jew, who being Jesus Christ, to heal or even have conversation or even be in any contact with this Samaritan who represented a Gentile people. And the Gentile people in Scripture represented a people that were set apart, were alienated from God, were not a chosen people. They were foreigners. But something happens to this foreigner. Jesus. He shows no partiality. He's not moving about here in the house of God, selecting whose life he wants to change and whose life he doesn't want to change. He wholeheartedly loves you. I love hearing Curtis share about how his approach to God was half-hearted, but he realized that God's approach to him was wholehearted. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, to the foreigner, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You've got to understand these 10 lepers that were set apart, isolated from the public, living a life in the despair, the loneliness, the pain that they were having to endure with the leprosy. I'm sure that they had created a bond and a relationship, these 10. You know, oftentimes when you're hurting and you're going through something, you and I will tend to call somebody who can identify with that hurt. Someone who will cry with you, someone who has endured pain or is still enduring pain. So here they were clumped together. Here they were outside of the village. Here they were somewhere across the street from a distance crying out, "Have mercy." And at some point they must have heard that Jesus was a miracle worker. Jesus was somebody who could change their life. Jesus was somebody who at the end of their road, he could turn things around. And so there was a bit of faith that was involved with these 10 lepers. A meager faith, the beginnings of faith, enough to believe for a healing. And God, Jesus Christ, is always compassionate and sympathetic to those that cry out for mercy. So if you cry out for mercy, he will respond to you. Because he's loving and he's compassionate and he's sympathetic. Whether you fully believe in faith or not, whether it's the half-hearted thing or the whole-hearted thing, but because he's wholeheartedly loving you and I, he always responds. And so in that moment, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And there was enough faith with the 10 lepers, not much, but enough faith to respond to his word in obedience. And so scripture says they weren't, he spoke, go to see the priest, and they were healed. No, he just said, go see the priest. So we're gonna go see the priest. And so, you know, with leprosy, it weakens the bones, the muscles, the body hurts. It's painful. There's sores and boils. It's a really ugly, nasty, painful disease. It's hard to walk. And so scripture says that as they left in obedience to his word, that all of a sudden they were healed. So I can imagine these 10 leaving going, "Man, I thought he was going to heal us, man. I thought, man, I'm hurting. Oh, wait, this ankle didn't feel as good. A few minutes, Oh, all right." And next thing you know, their shoulders are squared up and they rub their hand over their face and all the scars and if they had phones back then, they would have pulled out their cell phone and taken their first good looking selfie ever. Like, "Oh man, almost forgot how good I looked. Whoo." And here they are, whole again. God in his mercy healed them. And so now they're going to go do what they were told to do. Go see the priests. Why? Because there would be a process in order for them to be accepted back into the community. Hang with me. So as they're going to see the priest, as Jesus said, and I'm sure they're jumping up and down. They've never felt so good in their bones and their muscles. And they're slapping fives and they're hugging each other because they've shared with each other just all the pains and the hardship that they've gone through. And I'm sure they're just moving along and one just stops. And one has a revelation in his heart of who that man was. Hey, guys, hold on a second. What, man? Come on. Oh, my goodness. We're going to go see the priest right now. We're going to start this process. No, wait. Actually, go back with me. I'm going to go back. Wait. Why are you going back? You just told us to go see the priest. But come on, man. We're going back. This is going to... No. I'm going back to Jesus. He's God. Yeah. Listen to me. Man, he healed me. But he's the healer. Man, I feel life right now, but he's the giver of life. Okay, yeah, but we asked for mercy and I got my healing, so I'm good. Come on. Because that's what we sometimes do. We want a healing, but we don't want the healer. We want to live life. We want the good things of life. But we don't want a relationship with the life giver. We want Jesus to save us from stuff. But we don't want him to be our savior and take ownership of our life. And so here they are saying, no, come on, man, let's go. Let's go see the priest. And I'm going to tell you why. Why they would probably want to keep going. Because there was an outward change that happened. But there was no inner change except for one. And Jesus wants to touch our heart. And Jesus wants to make us fully whole. Out of his wholehearted desire to love on us, to change us, to give us life. Yes, he wants to offer you healing in your physical body. Yes, he wants to give you success. Yes, he wants you to have a career. Yes, he'll support you in the journey to finish your education. Yes, there are a lot of good things that we want. But the full package is all here in Jesus Christ. And so here are nine guys that are saying to themselves, man, no, let me tell you, I gotta get reinstated back into the community so I can get my old job back. And if I'm gonna get my old job back, and that's gonna be the key. There's another one that says, oh man, I feel really good right now. Today's a good day. I'm gonna go call that girl again because, you know, she's rejected me a couple times, but if she sees my face now, man, you know, I went to church a couple times and I feel really good. I'm gonna give her a call. I just got a raise, so you know, I mean, God's definitely in that, so, you know, just go keep making my money. He's looking out, that's great. And there's a little bit of a process that happens here as I was just studying and doing some research. What happens here is when they go back to see the priest, there is a process here because the priest in that time functioned as though he were the health inspector. Watch this. So it was a process. It was a process now that if the leper found himself to be whole, he'd have to go to the priest and show himself whole. And not only would he have to show himself whole one time, most likely there would be a process of having to do it 6 to 8 times of testing. And then not only the process of testing, not only in the hope to get the certification to be able to be back in society, to a certification that says he's whole, what he has to do is he has to sacrifice. There has to be sacrifices. There have to be certain rituals and certain religious process that person would have to undergo in order to finally receive the certification on paper that he was whole again. But I'm going to tell you something. There was one that realized that instead of going through the process 6 to 8 times for man to tell me I'm whole, instead of going all the way down there, And the attempt to be told that I can be reinstated back into the community, instead of getting certification and an approval from man, I'm going back to Jesus. I'm going back to Jesus. And this is for you and I. The health inspector here doesn't compare to the health inspector that we find in God. And the health inspector who we find in God has given us our certification through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are certified whole in Jesus Christ because of the finished work of the cross. Here's what I mean by that. The health inspector, God, has looked upon us and has seen our sin like lepers, outcast, ashamed, marginalized, guilty. He's heard our cry for mercy. The health inspector has worked out a plan that will simplify the process of your certification, that you might be able to function once again in this community, in our city, with life and life more abundantly. The health inspector, God, says, yep, David Hamm and every single one of you that are in here, you should be set apart. If he were to give us an inspection on our life, you would know and he would see who he is as God, that we have failed. But the health inspector says, let's make this certification process go a little bit more smoother because I love them. And so what he does is he gives us his son, Jesus Christ. He comes down on this earth. He lives a life that we could never live. He's certified. He's whole, he's righteous, he's a holy God. And he lives a life to come to this one moment where he goes to the cross. We say it all the time in this 6 o'clock service. Piece of wood nailed to another piece of wood in the shape of a T. He goes to this cross. They nail his hands to it. They nail his feet to it. And he becomes sin for us. So the health inspector looks upon his son on that cross with all of our ailments and all of our stuff and all of our failure and all of our mess. And so all of the stuff that would show on paper where we have failed, the inspection, now lands on Jesus Christ. It's on him. It's removed from us. And through the death of Christ on the cross, his blood that was shed on that cross, we're now made whole. Our sins washed away because of his blood that was poured out on the cross. And so through Jesus Christ, we pass the inspection. It's through Jesus Christ that we can now enter into society as a new person, a new creature. No more the leper, but made whole again. And I can show myself whole. And I can bypass all the tests and the whole process that man tells me I've got to endure in order to show myself approved, in order to be a man, or in order to be a woman, in order to be reputable in society. I don't have to go through those tests anymore. I'm coming back to Jesus. And at the end of it all, you've got 9 people that were healed, but you've got 1 that gets saved. 9 people that were healed physically, outwardly, looking good, outwardly. Hey, we're back in here. But only one is fully made whole. And it comes in this moment here, believing in faith that there's something more that Jesus has for me other than just an outward healing. Something's got to stir in your heart, the longing in your heart that says, my soul is empty. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You could pass the certification here. You could get reinstated. You could find the girl and get married. You can have all of this success. But the wholeness comes right here with Jesus. And why in the world would they even go to those priests? Because in that time, that place where they were in was dead. But there's life here in Jesus Christ. And it requires faith and recognizing that, man, I need a wholeness and I've got to put my faith in Jesus. It can't just be my faith in the hope that I'm healed, but my faith in the one who brings hope. And you got to get back to Jesus. And I love this young man because he's got to go back to Jesus. And at that point, you know, Jesus is probably not outside the village anymore. He's probably in the village at this point. And so he's got to catch up to Jesus. And I'm sure there's a lot going on in his mind. Like, man, I just met him for the first time, but I know in my heart that he is God. And oh man, I've never even been into this village. I've always sat on the outskirts. Man, what am I going to do when they all start looking at me? People that know me that have always told me that I'll never be nothing. People that have seen me from a distance and have laughed at me, have cursed at me, have told me I'll never be nothing. They're going to be watching, but Jesus, I got to get to them. And so I'm going to go into that village. And you're not going to listen to nobody that's going to tell you that he's not the answer. And some of you have been listening to people in your ear telling you you're not going to be anything. And your response has got to be wholehearted. And oh, praise God. Praise God. He's the only one in this story that goes from crying out for mercy to crying out in praise and joy and life in Jesus Christ. You see, we're not doing what we're supposed to do here in the house of the Lord if we don't encourage you. Yes, we want you to cry out for mercy. But at the end of it all, in this evening, I'm hoping that everybody in here cries out giving praise to Jesus Christ because you know him as Savior. A lot of people, you know, this happens sometimes. Sometimes you'll come in here and you're crying out for mercy and you're walking out the door, you're still crying out for mercy. No, you're supposed to be walking out of here crying out, God, I glorify you, I praise your name, I'm whole, you saved me, you're healer, I want you. I don't want just the miracle, but I want the miracle worker. I want you to be God in my life. And so will there be 9 tonight or will it be 1 tonight? Will there be 1 tonight? That goes a running back to Jesus. And scripture tells he just falls on his face. He just grabs hold of his feet. And as he's coming, praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Who told him that Jesus was God? Happened here in his soul. Faith stirred up and came alive. Praise you, God. And so he praises God because he realizes that Jesus is God. You've got to establish that in your heart. And then when you come to him, you fall down at his feet. That is the position of surrender. That is the position of saying, my life belongs to you. My life belongs to you. And then out of what has happened in his heart, then there's a heart of gratitude as he now has this revelation that Jesus is God. I give you thanks. And then when you come in faith, believing that here it is, the full package. Here it is. Jesus Christ who loves you wholeheartedly. Jesus will finish the deal. He is the full package. And he will look upon you who believe in faith right now. Faith in Jesus Christ. those of you here that may be just visiting from time to time, those of you here who might be like the nine that says, ah, you know what? I tell you what, once I get my certification, once I pass the test through the 8 times that I have to go, they might even send me to Jerusalem, to the big house, where they'll really look over me and declare that I can function in public. Then I'll give God the glory then when everything gets done right. You don't have time for all of that. Get to Jesus tonight. Worship team, could you come up? Oh, and then Jesus seals the deal. He seals the deal. He says this, I healed 10. What was it? I healed 10. But only one. And you're a foreigner. You're the one that's most furthest from me. You're the one that's been the most isolated. Maybe you're the one in here that your stuff and your mess, you feel like it's just mine is, my stuff is the worst of the worst. I know that there are people that come in here on a Sunday night and you hear testimonies and go, oh, oh, yo, if they only heard my story. Yeah, that's cool. You might feel like that foreigner, but it was the foreigner that was the most desperate for Jesus Christ to be his Savior. And Jesus says, rise up from that humble position of yours. Go your way, because now he knows that the way he'll go will be the way of Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And your faith has made you well. And in scripture, truly, that should be interpreted as this. Your faith in me, Jesus Christ, has saved you. Could you stand up? Hold on a second, Dave. Hey, I want you to come down and pray right now. And when you come down to pray, and you can start coming down if you want right now, but when you come down to pray, what it represents is this. You're going back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. You've been chasing after the approval of man. You've just wanted a bunch of good things. You've wanted to just feel good. You've wanted to be able to secure your outward appearance, but inside, you're rotting away. Well, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you this evening. I want you to come down here. And like I said, if it's one, you come right now. And don't you hesitate. Don't be like the nine and walk out of here saying, oh, this felt good. I can smile a little bit more. But allow Jesus to be Savior in your heart. Salvation. I'm calling out those that need to give their life to Jesus Christ, that he would be Savior. Don't be the nine. You come right now. And if you came with a friend, and those of you that are walking with Jesus Christ, and you have a friend that's beside you, and you know how they're living, maybe you took the step and said, hey, would you come? But now I want you to take a further step and say, come give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk with you down there. Husbands, grab your wife's hand. Wives, grab your husband's hand. Friend, grab your friend's hand. And you make your way down. We're going to be here for a little while. I'm talking to children, too. Children, if you're in here, give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm talking to grandfathers, too, and grandparents, grandmothers. Oh, no, not me. I just like to just stay to the back, wave, feel good. But has Jesus become Savior of your heart? Are you sitting around waiting for the healing and you're getting more and more frustrated and there's a bitterness growing in your heart because it hasn't worked out the way you want it? And Jesus is saying to you tonight, I want to be God in your life. Let's worship. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in this prayer. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members right now. We've got a wonderful team that is standing near to pray with you, to stand with you in this moment where you're going to rejoice and give God the glory. for being Savior. Prayer team, I would ask that you would just draw closer. And just, ladies, if you could rest your hand on a shoulder. Men, if you could rest your hand on a young man's shoulder right now. Don't worry about them. They're just going to stand with you, and they're going to pray with you as we pray this prayer. Because we're standing with you. And if you don't want somebody to stand beside you, that's fine. That's okay. Just say, please excuse me, I need this time. You're just fine. Say this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I come before you now in need of you. Not just an outward healing. I need an inward healing. Make me whole. Be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And because of your blood that was shed on the cross, I'm made whole. I repent of my sins. Forgive me, Jesus. Make me a new person. Make me whole. I give you the glory. I praise you. Thank you, God, for your son, Jesus. I give my life to you. I surrender all. In your name I pray. Amen.